Just want to share a little bit as we close out from this morning, and then we can go straight into communion and honor the Lord for his indeed sacrifice on our behalf. On this morning, we left off, we were talking about moving forward through change. I just want to reiterate the fact that change, when you look at change, all of us have had to change. All of us have had to deal with the confrontation of life. Jesus himself confronts us. So we have to understand that, it's not so much that we've done something and we've gone out of the way. The confrontation is an opportunity for us to grow. So we don't run from the confrontation. We've got to learn that that's not a bad thing. But not only do we deal with the confrontation, we have to understand that sometimes it's uncomfortable. It's not always a comfortable feeling when you look in the mirror and see yourself and you don't like what you see. So it can be uncomfortable, but that's part of the confrontation of the change that we are called to make as we move forward. I address these kinds of things because I think sometimes if we're not careful, it's easy to say that you've given your life to the Lord and you're good enough now. And when I say good enough, as in, now I'm not saying good enough to get into heaven. Yes, that's what it takes to get into heaven. But what I'm sharing is this, there's still more growth. You know, remember this, for every believer, the goal is Christ-likeness. You know, he says that we might be conformed to the image of his dear son. Remember, that's the goal. So until we look like his dear son, we're not through. So that's, you have to understand, that's where we're always going. That's what we're always seeking to achieve. Now, I do understand that some of these things, when he appears, we, as he is, so are we in that very present moment. I understand. But we're working out our own salvation through fear and trembling, too. So let's make sure that we understand that this is a growth. This is a moving forward that God has us doing here. So, that, don't take the challenge as, I can never do that. No, this is what we're called to. We're righteous now. We're not going to become more righteous. But how, let me ask you this. Are we thinking like Christ? He said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Learning to make ourselves of no reputation. Taking upon us the form of a servant and understanding how you serve. These are things that we're growing to as a people. I don't want to have ugly attitudes. Amen. Jesus didn't. And see, for some people, they say, all right, that's just the way I am. No, you don't want to deal with the confrontation. Yeah. The confrontation where the word says, be kind. Yeah. That's the word. That's the confrontation. Yeah. So you have to understand that it's for all of us because the goal is Christ-likeness. So that's that. I just want to give you the premise that we're coming from. I don't like ministering and someone leaves confused. Not that anyone is, but I believe my gifting as a teacher is I seek to clarify always. I may over-explain, but at least I didn't try to leave you in the dark. Amen. Amen. Now, let's deal with part three and we'll close out this and prepare for Holy Communion this evening. We know that this change, as though we're moving forward through change, we realize that this change is one, confrontational. We realize two, change is uncomfortable. Three, we realize change is necessary. It's necessary. You can't grow unless you change. All of y'all are some wonderful looking people in here, but think how much you've changed since you were born. So you had to change. You can't be, some of y'all, you were preemie, and you don't look nothing like you were preemie now. Because you changed. You look at us, there are changes that happen in our life. Change is normal. Change has things in our lives to change. And that's okay. We've had to be uncomfortable to change. But change has always and always will be necessary. So go with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 1. Let's look at the necessary change. The Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Moving forward with God requires change in everyone, even somebody who's supposed to be notable. Amen. If you read the text, Nicodemus wasn't just anybody. Let's look at verse 1. Show you what I mean. There was a man of the Pharisees. This is the religious order. Then it says a ruler of the Jews. You are not exempt because of your position or your status or your title. You still have to understand change is necessary. Amen. And sometimes I'm saying that because sometimes we have an idea or a mindset that we reach a certain place and, okay, I don't have to change anymore. You know, Paul said this. He says, I've not yet obtained. How in the, if he's saying, listen, I ain't got there yet, and he wrote 2/3 of what we read now, what makes us feel like I don't have to change anymore? I'm serious. I remember Bishop Locke used to say this. What would it be like for those of us that's married? What would it be like to be married to Jesus? Let me ask you this. Why don't we know? I'll let all y'all work on that right there. For those of you all that are single, what was Jesus like as a single man? I mean, you know what? Do you know what's amazing to me? It looked like Jesus never got tired of people. And they always wanted something, and it wasn't necessarily good. I mean, they wanted stuff, okay, well, I'm going to follow you because of the fishes and the loaves. I ain't really because I want you. I want what you got. And Jesus, it's like he never was tired of people. Amen. I mean, he said, forget y'all. Y'all got the wrong motive. See? That's good. You understand why change is necessary in us now? Because, sometimes we tired of ourselves. Amen. I don't want to be bothered with me. So I don't want to see you. But Jesus had constantly, he is the standard, you all. So everybody is required to change because change is necessary, no matter what our status, our title, or our abilities. Look at verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, this is a very interesting thing. I want you to stop for a moment, and I want us to, because I know we hear this and have heard this, but do you realize that Jesus said to him, verily, verily, or truly, truly, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So how are we talking to people who are not born again about the things of the kingdom? They can't see it. Can you imagine describing a beautiful picture to somebody who's blind? They can't see it. This is what we try to do. We try to talk to people about the things of the kingdom and they can't see it. Jesus said it's because they're not born again. This is how necessary change is. They can't even see what you're talking about unless they experience the change of salvation.
Amen. Amen.
Good teaching. That's why when it comes to unbelievers, you all, why are you wasting your time trying to explain tithes and all of this other stuff to them? They're not saved. They can't see it. So you set yourself up for arguments. And you go like, why don't you understand? What did he say? If you look at the word see, it's a Greek word that means perceive. They can't understand the stuff of the kingdom. Change is necessary. Well, okay. Verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, you have to understand, these are grown men. I don't know if you all have noticed, this is the third, the illustrations that we have used today from the scriptures have all been from people who could not understand spiritual things. Jesus was talking to them about spiritual things, but he used natural things to relate to them because they could not relate to the spirit. If he was talking about being in Christ, he talked to them about eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood. And he made the eating of his flesh likened unto the eating of the bread that they had. And the best they was able to do was go back to the manna. Well, at the woman at the well, he had to liken what he was providing her with or could provide to her with the water that she was relating to at the well, because they could not deal with spiritual things. I want you to see how necessary it is to be born again before you can even understand spiritual things. Because we have gone all out of our way to try to talk. We're on our job. We talk. I want to witness to them. Well, what I want to witness to them about is I want to witness to them about what heaven is like. Really? Because you say, well, you know, everybody want to go to heaven. Ain't no reason in the world they don't want to go to heaven. How are they going to relate to that? They can't relate to the earth. The best you're going to do is let them know that SpaceX sent up a rocket. Because that's something that they can relate to here. So now you're talking about angels ascending and descending. They can't comprehend that. I'm trying to share this with us because if we don't come to understand scriptural things, you all, we're going to get to the place where we find ourselves frustrated dealing with other people. Our expectations are in the wrong place because they cannot understand spiritual things. Notice, let me show you something. Let me show you how Jesus does this. Jesus answered, said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Remember that, verse 3. Now jump to verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, mind you, right before this, what did Nicodemus say? Can a man enter into a woman's womb and be born again? Do you understand? I mean, I don't know if y'all are getting this. You know this is a grown man saying this. He said, Jesus, I ain't got a clue what you're saying. How do you do this? At least he was honest enough to say, I don't understand. So now Jesus says something to him. Y'all ready? Yes. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Okay, we're going to get deep for like 1 minute, okay? Can we go deep for 1 minute? Okay, 1 minute. Jesus tells him, the only people who can be born again are people who are humans. The water, okay, sisters, when y'all had a baby, what happened first? So Jesus tells him it's only people who got their water broken who then decide to get saved through the Spirit. They are the only ones who can enter in. In other words, I said deep for 1 minute. It's some crazy stuff floating around. I'm simply saying remember, angels are not redeemed. Angels don't have a body. The water don't break. Y'all, Jesus don't just say stuff just to be saying it. This is an exclusive club that you're part of. You had to have a natural birth first. Then you had to be born into the Spirit. Then you are the one who is able to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, watch what I'm saying. There are other spiritual entities that are out there. But they can't be born again and enter the kingdom. Demons cannot be born again and enter into the kingdom. They don't have a body. So when Jesus was saying that, he was very specific in what he was saying. All right, no more deepness. We're coming back in now. We're going to come back in. So now the water represents flesh. Because the water breaks when a woman has a baby. That's what happens. So he says you got to be born of water, which is flesh, and of the spirit in order to enter the kingdom of God. Okay, let's do it like this. You need to be born twice and die once. Amen. Just trying to slow it down as much as I can, you know. Born twice, die once. Now, see, you got to realize it's angels and stuff are created beings. They're not born. Okay. Verse 6. No more deepness. It's like, y'all like it. You said this 4 o'clock service. We can't go deep now. Okay, no problem. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. See, you got to watch Jesus' conversation. He's saying, listen, if you're born of the flesh, that's all you're going to reproduce is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. So he says a natural birth is one thing. A spiritual birth is another. Don't get them twisted. You can't enter into the woman's womb again. That ain't the way you're going to do this. You got to have the natural birth and you got to have the spiritual birth. See, look at Jesus is all. It seems like he is very clear when it comes to letting people know what's necessary, that there are no alternatives. It seems like people today, when we talk, I don't do gray. I'm a black white guy. I'm not good at gray. You hear people say, well, there's more than one way to God. No, it's not. It's black and white. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That has not changed. Jesus was real specific at letting people know that it's necessary to do it this way. There's no other route. There's no other way. There's no other alternative. But we find people today who are presenting other alternatives, other routes, if you will. Now, so verse 7, Jesus says, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. He said, don't freak out on that. He says, watch this. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Okay, now just let me see if I can do something here. Listen to this. You do not have to know how a brown cow eats green grass and produces white milk to drink the milk. You don't have to know how a brown cow eats green grass and produces white milk in order to drink the milk. Look what Jesus told Nicodemus. He says, now, I want you to look at something that you can relate to. I want you to look at how the wind blows. He said, the wind blows and where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound there, but you can't tell where it came from. But watch this. Know where it goes, but that don't stop you from feeling the wind. So he says, Nicodemus, it ain't about you understanding how all of this happens in the spirit. It's about you understanding that you've got to be born of the spirit. See, we try to understand everything before we think we should do it. What are you understanding spiritual things with? I want you, now I took time over that so we can see that. He says, except you be born again, you cannot perceive, see, or understand the things of the kingdom. So we would try to perceive or understand or see the things of the kingdom with our natural mind. So he says, you can't do that with being born of the Spirit. Okay, Holy Spirit, let's slow down. Over 2,000 years ago, the Son of God came, died on a cross for the sins you committed and put him there before you were born. See how trying to understand that in the natural? You see what I'm saying? Okay, no. Okay, I'm saying that to you as a believer. Now try to tell that to somebody who is an unbeliever. If the Holy Spirit doesn't bear witness to truth, you can't get that naturally. But y'all looking at me like I'm I just want to know, is this still what's in the scriptures? I mean, have I said something that's not there or something? I mean, because what happens is we're trying to talk to people about things that are spiritual and not understanding that they're not saved. That's why and that's why, you know, we used to have a debate about, you know, God not hearing a sinner's prayers and all of this other stuff. And you know, people said, well, you know, God hears prayers. He heard my prayer. Because there was one time I was coming home from the club and I was so this, that, and the other. And I prayed, God, if you just let me get home, I won't do it again. Until the next time that you did it. Oh, I know he heard my prayer. Listen, the Bible says, I think it's John 9:36, God does not hear sinners' prayer. Do you know what kind of stuff we prayed for sinners or would have prayed for? And let me ask you this. Okay. How did your prayer get to God? And you didn't accept his son. You know, the scripture says God is angry with the wicked every day. So the God who's angry with you gonna hear your prayer. And you disrespected his son. Now, could God have moved on other people's heart to pray for you? Yes. But your prayer? Mm-mm. My prayer? Mm-mm. The only prayer God heard from us as sinners was a prayer of repentance. Because you acknowledge, I acknowledge his son. That's what people are thinking, that they can just bypass and go to God any kind of way. So if that's the case, why did he give his son? If you just sit down and look what Jesus says, he makes this stuff. He says, no man cometh to the Father but by me. He meant that. The only way we have access unto God is through Jesus. Period. Well, what, Pastor, what about? You can do all the what about you want to do. I know what Jesus said. Amen. 9:31, sorry. What did I say? 9:36? Okay, I'm sorry. 9:31. God doesn't hear a sinner's prayer. John 9:31. So you can actually see it's actually in the book. I'm not just saying that. I'm not. Now we know. Look at that. They're saying we know that already. We still arguing over it. They say we know. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. Okay, you can't worship God as a sinner because you got to worship in spirit and truth. So that don't be thinking, but somebody might be worshiping. Sinners ain't doing his will. I thought it was pretty straightforward to me. See why people need change is necessary. That's my whole little message for tonight. Change is necessary. Well, as we're preparing for this upcoming week, you all, and we're praying for our loved ones, I want you to see why this must happen. This is not an option. Well, you know, because sometimes the enemy gets you going. He'll get you to think of this. Well, maybe God will let them slide. Oh, y'all don't want to say that. Y'all want to say amen and hear that now. But you know, you go like, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe God going to just work something out with them. No, if they don't get saved, if they don't repent and give their lives to the Lord, all of our loved ones will perish. That's the truth. So now we have an opportunity to pray on their behalf. They can't pray for themselves. Amen. So I want you to understand the importance of what we're doing. We could be that one prayer lifeline that they have. So Jesus says, you know, marvel not. And he talks about the wind. So now, verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto them, how can these things be? See, remember, Nicodemus is not saved. So everything Jesus is saying, he don't get it. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and you don't know this? Jack Frost said this. Not Jack Frost, the other stuff. But the author, Jack Frost, said this. You teach what you know, but you impart who you are. Amen. Jesus says, you know what? You're a master. You're a teacher. And you don't know this stuff? So what are you teaching other people? What are you imparting to other people if you don't know it? I wonder sometimes, are we not experiencing more individuals being born again because we don't know if we are? I don't mean just redeeming love. I mean the body of Christ. We teach what we know. The Bible say this. The Bible say that. But you impart what you are. What are we imparting to people? Okay, I'll keep going. Verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Jesus said, I ain't even really gone deep yet. You can't even handle this. All he's talking about is being born again. He said, you can't handle that. And you're a master in Israel. This is how necessary change is. Let me close. Look at, jump down to verse 13. He says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Do you realize the crucifixion of Jesus was necessary? Notice what he did with Nicodemus. He says, now you know about the serpent that Moses lifted up. Let me tell you, just the way that was necessary for them to be healed, it's necessary for the Son of Man to be lifted up for folks to be saved. Yes, yes. He keeps doing things that they understand from the natural to allude to what's in the spirit. Yes, sir. Yes. So he says in verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. So whoever makes the choice to trust him will have eternal life. So now he starts to tell him how the process really is. It's based on your trust or your belief. It's not about you entering back into the womb.
That's right.
I'll end at verse 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, some people think that Jesus coming on the scene is what causes conflict. Jesus is actually the solution.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, you hear people say, well, all wars start because of religion. And now you know they weren't at all the wars that started. But that's just something good to say, because then they can say that's what's wrong with religion right now. It starts wars and people get killed and all of that. Jesus is the solution to man's problem. Because God loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son as the solution for a world. Okay, let's stop for a second. Now, I was thinking about this. When if you've ever really read Revelations, Revelations is not the devil. If you want to know what God looks like mad, I mean, this is God mad. I mean, unleashed mad. Okay, now I was just thinking about this. I know how I am. I can get mad. Okay, God been mad a long time. In his madness, for lack of a better word, he's also been long-suffering. So because he's been long-suffering, we've not seen his full wrath, if you will. Revelation is the unveiling of his full wrath. So when you start saying a third of the earth, this happened. A third happened over here. That happened. A mountain fell from the sky that was burning. And all of it fell in the sea. And then stuff like people look for death and it didn't come. You're like, Lord, what is going on? This is God mad because the devil ain't nowhere. So now you have to understand, the only solution to that was Jesus coming. There was nothing else that was a solution to that. It was necessary. There was nothing else we could do. If not, everybody was going to experience that kind of wrath. Everybody was going to experience that because everybody was wicked. And God is angry with the wicked every day. I'm just saying so we can appreciate our salvation a little bit more. You need to read Revelation or something. Just you feel like, you know, things ain't really going right for you. You a little down in the dump. Go ahead and read that. Read what you get to miss out from. Read what you don't have to experience now. You think times are, I'm tired of these folks. They're getting on my nerve. Read Revelation. Just read that. What it's like when God get upset. Verse 18, and we're finished. He said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That word condemned means to be judged right or wrong. So he that has been judged. Okay, so look at this. He that believeth on him is not condemned. So you're not judged to be wrong if you believe on Jesus. Okay, I want you to look at this. And I'm finished with this one. Okay, so we're not condemned or judged to be wrong if we believe on him. This is why believers do not appear at the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment is not for believers. Read it in Revelation. It's the sinners that appear at the great white throne judgment, not us. Because we've already been judged to be right. See, Jesus was very specific in what he was saying. The only judgment that you and I have is a judgment that's based on our works. What did we do in our body on the earth? So now you're judged, and what it's doing is looking at what rewards you get for what you've done in your body. This is not a heaven or hell judgment. So now that's you're dictating what your rewards are. How did you serve in the house of God? Because you had a body. And when you had that body, what were you doing? So you setting the stage for your own rewards. But he says, but he that believeth not is, look at this, is judged wrong already. We ain't waiting. Now, it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. Now, okay, your judgment, okay, all your works cease. But that ain't got nothing to do with the fact that you already condemned if you don't believe in Christ. Okay. Remember how the scripture says, and the wrath of God abideth upon them? In other words, it's already resting on people. It's just waiting to come into fruition. Y'all, wrath was on us. The only escape from that wrath was the necessity of us making a change through Jesus Christ. That's it. There was no other way out. Already been judged. That's why you know nobody's going to squeak by. Either you judged already as wrong or you judged already as right. And the judgment, look at this. Do you notice that? Watch this. He that believeth, but he that believeth not. The judgment is based on whether you believe or not. Oh. I want you to understand. It. Watch this. The judgment never said works. What you put your trust in. That's what the judgment is based on. You want to get out from under the wrath? What are you putting your trust in? Well, Lord, I believe, watch this, I believe I could just do enough good to get out from under the wrath of God. That's what you're putting your trust in. So you say you judged already because you didn't accept my son that I sent. You judge wrong. So we can't run around thinking it's about good works. I'm trusting that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the sacrifice that God requires on my behalf. Because I can't do it myself. I can't never do enough right. I can't never be right. Can't never, nothing apart from him, I can't do it. So now because that's what I'm trusting, I'm judged right. And watch this. The judge right. This is good. Okay. I'm judged right because the judge is right. And whatever the judge says is right. He's the judge. He's the judge. So it ain't all about me doing, you didn't do this right. You didn't do that right. No. That's what I did right, though. That's what I did right. And that's what the judge required. I'm finished. I'm stopped right there. I'm done.